This morning, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and we'll be in chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3, we'll read the first 6 verses. And this morning, above all things, I believe we should lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of subjects in the Scriptures. There are a lot of things that can be preached. But there's nothing greater, there's nothing more important than lifting up the name of our Lord Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I believe He does that. There are some people that will respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And then there are some people that will rebel against that and reject. But I believe as we lift up the Lord and make Him known, then we see that He has that drawing power through the work of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the Word of God, and the power of God, that we can see the Lord do things in the lives of people that could never be done without the power of God. The book of Hebrews, I believe, was written by the Apostle Paul. The Scripture doesn't tell us who wrote that. And so therefore, that is just supposition upon anybody's part as to who is the human author. But we do believe that it was written by and inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And God directed people to write His words down. We have them preserved to us this morning. As we read the Scripture, Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians. When you study the book of Hebrews, you must remember, because there are some difficult areas in Hebrews, but if you will put in your heart and your mind, as I read this, the Holy Spirit was directing these words to believers. It's not written to unbelievers, it's written to the child of God. And if you keep that in your mind and in your thought, some of these things that are a little bit difficult to understand becomes a little more clearer, because we understand that it is written to a person that has the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us in our study of His Word. We begin reading in verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 3. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that build all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Here we find the writer of the book of Hebrews telling us that Jesus Christ is faithful. I'm glad this morning that I can give you testimony that the Lord has never been unfaithful to me, and I'm sure you could answer back and say the Lord has never been unfaithful to me either. He is always there to help in time of trouble. He's always there to be that comfort in times of sorrow. In times of rejoicing, He is there to help us to continue on in the good things that the Lord has bestowed upon us, that we smile not only on our face, but we smile in our hearts and our souls because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to think this morning, just for a few moments, upon the subject that I take from two different verses here in Hebrews chapter number 3. I want us to look, first of all, consider. The word consider in verse number 1 means that we are to take notice of who is being spoken of. Verse number 1 tells us that as brethren that are partakers of the heavenly calling, which is none other than salvation, the writer says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We are to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to look into His life. We are to consider every aspect of what Christ did for us while He was here on this earth. And then we consider also the things that He does for us now while He is in heaven as the intercessor, as our advocate, what He does for us now. We are to consider those blessings that He bestows upon us. So Paul says, holy brethren, those of you that are partakers of this heavenly calling, those of you that have knowledge of the apostle and the high priest of our profession, who is Christ Jesus, he said, consider. Then in verse number three says, for this man. I want us to consider this morning this man. I'm glad that we have record of the Word of God that this man, Jesus Christ, came into a world that did not want him, but yet he came and identified himself with mankind. The Gospel of John says that he became flesh and he dwelt among us. He became a man, literally God incarnated or made himself a man that he could be just like you and I. And the Bible tells us that he was like every person of the human race with one exception, and that without sin. And so we want to consider this morning this man. I believe the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. I believe every place you go, every chapter you read, every book of the 66 books of the Scripture is a consideration of some facet or something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I just jotted down a few of these things. We've done every book of the Bible, but I just jotted down a few of them this morning or yesterday as I was looking at this. It says in Genesis, he is that saving ark. Thank God. That ark that God told Noah to prepare for the saving of his household. That is a type and that is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus, we find in Exodus chapter number 12, and in that area, the Lord gives to Moses some things concerning the sacrificial lamb, and that he is that lamb that gave himself for us. In the book of Numbers, he's the serpent that is put upon that brass pole. You remember the story. Israel had sinned against God, and the Lord told him, said, you make a serpent out of brass, you put it upon a pole, and everyone that looks upon that brass serpent, they shall live. And it goes on to say in that those verses in the book of Numbers that everyone that looked lived. Thank God this morning we can look and live also because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The brass represented the judgment of God upon mankind, and as we look upon what the Lord has given to us, we live for Him. We find in the book of Deuteronomy, these are books sometimes that people sort of skip over, and they don't like to read some of the Old Testament things. But the book of Deuteronomy gives us some beautiful pictures about the Lord Jesus Christ as our refuge. In Deuteronomy, we have those cities of refuge. And if a man was guilty of sin, he could flee to those cities and have refuge for his soul, and the judgment of mankind would not be upon him. It would be stayed. And so in Deuteronomy, the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as our refuge. In the book of Job, he's the sure Redeemer. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that one day I shall see him in my flesh. And so he is our Redeemer. And you can go on and on and on in the different books of the Bible. In the book of Daniel, he is the stone that was cut out of the mountain. In the book of Romans, we find that Jesus Christ is the salvation of our soul. In Galatians, He is the sufficiency of our life. In the book of Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, He's the suffering Christ. And in Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ is the satisfaction of the bride of Christ, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you could go through every book of the Bible, and you will find that Jesus is pictured to us in those books and chapters that are available to us as His Word. The theme of the book of Hebrews, I believe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And really the theme of Hebrews is how that Christ is incomparable to everyone else and to everything else. Even in our verse that we read this morning, we'll look again, when compared to Moses, there really is no comparison at all. I read this statement some time ago and jotted it down, that Christ was born in a stable, but he thrilled stately palaces. He was born there as the Son of God, laid in a manger, but yet in his life he thrilled, he talked, and dealt with even royalty and in the palaces around him. He never attended a university, but he confused the scholars. Never a man spake like this man, they said. When the Lord was left as a young boy, he was confounding the scholars of his day. There in Jerusalem, mom and dad had headed back toward their home, and they realize the Lord is not there, and they go back and find him, and he is confusing and confounding those that were supposed to be scholars of the Word of God, and they question him as to why he is there, and he said, I'm about my Father's business. And so everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is something that would be for the good of you and I. He never had a whole lot of money, but he owns the world. Thank God this morning everything belongs to him, you and I included in that, and all the things that we have. And so he is incomparable, this man, Jesus Christ. And so I want us to think this morning concerning this man that we call our Savior, this man that one day we met, as Paul met him on the road to Damascus, you met him one day in your road of life. As you met him one day, I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and I realized that I had a need, a great need, and only he could satisfy that need in my heart. But this man, in the book of Hebrews, we find he is compared to a lot of different things, but he supersedes every one of them. And in our text this morning, we read in verse number 3, says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he had builded the house, hath more honor than the house. This man and Moses, when you compare them, there's really no comparison at all. Moses is told to us that he was a servant. He was a faithful servant of the Lord. I thank God Jesus Christ is a faithful servant of his Father. And you know, more than that, he's a faithful servant to you and I. He bestows his goods, his love, his life upon you and I. And he is a faithful servant to everything that we attempt in our life. In Hebrews 1, it states that even the world was made by him. And the scripture tells us that everything that was made by him. And then Colossians says it was made for him. And Colossians also says that he is the one that sustains it and keeps everything in order and everything just as it should be. I listened yesterday afternoon or last night to a news report. And they told about they had launched a spaceship, I guess we'd call it, and it's headed toward Mars. And they can tell you right now, the very day, the moment, the minute, that it will arrive at Mars, and if nothing goes wrong, it'll land on that planet we call Mars. Now, how can we know, how can we calculate from here to Mars, oh, it's going to take, what'd they say, 8 months, 6 months, something like that, to get there. And they told us last night on the news it's going to land, and they gave the date. I think it's in November. And so how can they calculate that? You know why? Because we have a Christ, and everything is in order with him, and we can calculate every day of our life according to the plan that God has given to us, and we can figure out dates ahead of time when certain things are going to happen. I'm glad that Hebrews tells us that he made it, he sustains it, he put it in order, he keeps it in order, and thank God we can learn from everything the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Moses is worthy of honor, the Bible says, but this man is worthy of much more honor. What is remembered more, the house or the builder of the house? You see a house on the road, and you'll look at it and say, "Boy, that's a beautiful place." But if you want to build one like that, you know what you'll do? You'll go to the fellow that drew the architectural plans, and you'll find out who did the work, and they become more important than the finished product. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is more important than the finished product of me and of you. I'm glad I can tell people about the Lord Jesus. I'm glad I can give them the plan that God gives us of salvation. But when you compare him to anything else or anybody else, as Paul tried to do here in Hebrews chapter 3, he come to the conclusion that there's no comparison. When you compare him to a man, the man Christ Jesus, there is no comparison at all. This man, the incomparable Christ, stands head and shoulders above every other man. If you turn over to the book of Hebrews, and this is primarily we'll stay in this book this morning. In Hebrews chapter number 7, we have two verses here that I want to call our attention to. This man now is compared to the priesthood. And in verse number 23, Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 23, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." Notice verse 24. "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." Paul now moves from the man Moses, and he moves to a portion of the history of Israel that is called the priesthood. And the priesthood was very important to the Jew, for they learned, and they had their sacrifices, they had their daily offerings that were given, and the priesthood carried out the order and the work of the temple and the tabernacles, and they carried out the daily activities of the spiritual welfare of the Jew. But here Paul, this preacher of the gospel, he says, there was many priests, but they didn't continue because what? They died. Many priests down through history, but they didn't have a continuing priesthood in their particular life because of death. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." When you compare the Lord Jesus Christ, which we know is given to us as our high priest, he is that one that is seated at the right hand of the throne of God this morning. And the Bible says he's our advocate, he's our intercessory. He takes our place and he pleads our case before God. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a priest that continueth forever and forever. The Bible says he's after the order of Melchizedek, and that is a type and a picture of Jesus Christ. Israel had their priest, and they died. Israel had their Aaronic priesthood out of the life of the man Aaron, and he was very limited in his ancestors after him were very limited as to what they could do because they were a person, a being just like you and I, and they died, and their priesthood was over. Thank God this morning I have a high priest that's there continually forever and forever. He is there to help me, and Jesus Christ is our priest, our high priest, that is unchangeable. Not only a priest, but he's also a king, a royal priesthood that we have. His love guaranteed that he would represent sinners. I'm glad this morning I can tell the sinner, Jesus loves you. I'm glad I can declare to you that, and I this morning, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what condition we find ourselves in spiritually, God still loves us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know. This book here, the Bible, as the little children's song says, tells us so. And so we have a Christ, we have a, a priest that loves us, and his love guaranteed one day that he would represent us before the throne of God. And thank God, he is our intercessor. He is our high priest. His power guarantees that one day, not only does he represent us, but one day we'll have total, complete redemption, body, soul, and spirit, and we'll stand before the Lord as a completed individual. I'm glad this morning I'm saved. I'm glad I can tell you my soul has been born again. My life has been changed. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. We have that change that has taken place, but there's a change that we are waiting for one day, and that's to be not only absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, but Paul tells us in another one of his writings in Thessalonians to the Thessalonican people, he tells us that one day the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we'll be with the Lord, that's body, soul, and spirit. Thank God he's my high priest, and he represents me, and one day he will, not only does he represent me, but he'll redeem everything about me, body, soul, and spirit. You say, well, I thought you said you was already redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed according to the song and to the scripture. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But I'll tell you one part of me that's not redeemed totally, and that's this old flesh that I live in. The flesh that you live in. We're not perfect. We're not sinless. We have difficulties. We have problems. And there are those sins that so easily beset us, and those sins that so easily come upon us. And we find ourselves asking at the end of the day, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I accomplish that? Why did I have that attitude? You know why? Because your body's not redeemed yet. This old flesh is going to have to take on a change one day, and that'll take place when we see the Lord. So when you compare this man to Moses, he's incomparable. When you compare this man to the priesthood, there's no comparison at all, because his continues on and does not change. Look in Hebrews chapter number 8 and verse number 3. It says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Every priest had offerings and different things. And the scripture says here, they were ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Every priest of the Old Testament, they offered their offerings. They offered their sacrifices. But when compared to this man, he also had an offering that he had to give. And you know where I'm going with that. Thank God he offered himself. He offered his life. His blood was shed upon Calvary's tree that we might have life. And so when you compare the Lord Jesus Christ with the priesthood, and when you compare the Lord with the offerings that the priests gave, there is no comparison at all. They gave gifts of their flesh. Jesus Christ gave his flesh. Jesus Christ gave his life and died for you and I. His offering was much greater. Anytime you hear someone that narrowly escapes a tornado, maybe they've lost everything, a flood, whatever it might be, maybe even what's going on now in Hawaii with the volcano, I heard someone say yesterday, as they ran literally for their lives and they lost everything behind them, the lady said, things can be replaced, but lives cannot. How many times have we heard that? All of a sudden, those things that we hold so dear, they're not that important when it comes to them or us. They're not that great if it's in a relationship to if I'm going to live or I'm going to take this with me. We will leave and we will escape. The Bible says by the skin of our teeth. Just barely getting out. But that's more important. Jesus Christ offered himself. And his offering was much more than the offerings and the sacrifices that the priest would give daily upon the altars. There in the tabernacles and the temple and the synagogues. those priests would go daily and they'd offer certain daily sacrifices. Then once a year there'd be that one main sacrifice that the lamb and the blood of the lamb would be taken in behind the Holy of Holies, behind that curtain. And they would offer that blood upon the altar. And they do it once a year. Well, I'm glad, and in Hebrews it tells us that our Lord didn't do it once a year. Thank God He did it once for all time. He did that day on Calvary's tree. He offered His own blood. He sacrificed Himself. So therefore, there's no comparison, not only to Moses, not only to the high priest. His offering does not even compare to those that give gifts and sacrifices, for He gave Himself. He gave it all that I might receive it all for me. This morning, as a believer, we have nothing to compare our salvation to except what Christ did for us. Do we deserve heaven? Definitely not. Do we deserve salvation? Surely no. We do not deserve the good things of our Lord, but thank God Jesus came and offered Himself that we might have life. Now if you would turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter number 10, and we'll look at one more passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 10, and we begin reading in verse number 12. Hebrews 10 and 12, it says, "But this man," there's that little phrase again, "this man. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." He died one time for all time. And now he is seated at the right hand of God. And the Scripture says here in that verse that we just read, it tells us that he is waiting for the day, waiting for the time that his enemies will be his footstool. One day Jesus shall put away every wicked thought and every wicked deal. He'll do away with all the problems of life and of this world. He'll do away with all that, but he's seated now expecting. He's seated there waiting for the Father to tell him, "All right, son, it's time. You go get your bride, you bring them back, and then we're going to make your enemies your footstool." That shows the subjection of this world, that one day will fall under the power of the mighty hand and judgment of the Lord. How different our Lord is. There's not another individual in the Bible like Jesus Christ. Never a man spake like this man. Where did he get that knowledge, they ask? How did he come up with those things that he could confound the doctors and the lawyers of his day? Where did he come from? Well, this man, he was different than all of those. He offers a sacrifice. And it's a forever sacrifice. If it was not a forever sacrifice, he'd have to come yearly or daily to make sure that we go to heaven. And I'm glad he went one day to Calvary. He went through all the struggles of his whole life. From the moment Jesus started his ministry to the end of his earthly ministry, it was filled with turmoil and trouble. But this man makes a difference in our lives. He's made a difference in your life. If you are a Christian this morning, he made a difference in your life. He made a difference in what you do, where you go, how you think. He just makes a difference. If salvation has not made a difference in your life, you need to check up what you call salvation. If the Lord hadn't changed you, then you need to figure out which Lord really you're dealing with. There is a God of this world. His name is the devil. And he's out for deception and deceive you every particle of your life and every path that you take. He's there to deceive you and make you feel okay. But this man, he gave his life that I might know one day that I'm going to heaven. If I pillow my head tonight and I do not wake in this world, I'll know where I'm going. I'm glad I don't have to say, well, I hope I know where I'm going. I'm glad I don't have to say, well, preacher, I'm trying to do the best I can to get there. You can try all you want to, and you can do the best you can, but it'll never be enough. Because it's not this man, but it's that man. It's not what I do, it's what he did that day on Calvary. And the writer of Hebrews, in comparison, always uses that little phrase, this man. When you look at Moses, Moses is a great historical character of Israel. And he did great things. But this man did greater. When you look at the priest, they did great things. And there are some great priests that have been down through history. But they died. But this man, he's a priest forever. He's not going to change. It's not going to run out. Time's not going to expire on his term, this man. When you look at the offerings that the priests gave, their offerings were all earthly, all things. But this man gave himself and gave his life, gave his blood. This man, you can't compare him to anyone or anything else. And this man is seated at the heavens right now with an expectancy that one day all his enemies, my goodness, there are multitudes of his enemies, but one of these days, those enemies will be placed as his footstool. They'll be insignificant, non-existent, because this man is the Son of God, the Savior of everyone that will believe upon him. This man becomes my Lord. I'm glad today that I have the testimony of the Holy Spirit in my heart that one day this man came to this man. One day this man came to you, man, woman, boy, girl. Whatever age you might have been, wherever you may have been, whatever condition your life may have been in, I'm glad the man Christ Jesus makes a difference. You can go through all kind of physical programs to try to help you. You can go through medical programs to try to deliver you from problems. You can take all kind of medication to make you forget or maybe not have all the stress of life. But none of them will do what this man, Jesus Christ, is able to do. He's able to save to the uttermost, to all them that call upon him. May we always lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. He's greater than. And all of Hebrews declares to us that Jesus is better than you name it. He's better. I'm glad we can declare him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together this morning.